but to be in God's will, doing what God wants you to do. And let me tell you, I appreciate the opportunity to sing this morning with my family, and a great song. And I told Chris, "You're up next, brother." Yeah, no, there's no slipping out anymore. You're going to come with the next song we sing, because he's a part of the family too. He's my son-in-law, so he is going to be coming up. So stay tuned, amen? Amen. Well, if you take your Bibles this morning, we'll turn to the book of Acts. And praise the Lord for God's Word. I'm looking forward to opening it this morning with all of you, because God's Word is true. It is perfect. It's an entire and needing absolutely nothing. It's inerrant. It's infallible. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord for that. And just on the side note, as we were talking earlier about Awana, I'm just so thankful for this church and how we step up. And you probably heard me say it time and time again. But, man, we had a great time. I mean, I think Wednesday was a great turnout. I don't know if anybody got a count of how many kids and parents we had, because we even had some grandparents in here. And if you're on Facebook or not, it doesn't matter. It's besides the point. But what's cool about Facebook is you see, you know, past things that's happened in the past, right? And it's almost every time this year we've had the carnival. So it pops up of what we've had in the past regards to the Awana carnivals. And it seems like every single time, every year, this thing gets fuller and fuller and fuller. And this thing was packed out, amen? And we had a few rows. I mean, even the front row was full of kids. You can tell by the glitter that's still up there. But it was good. And I am so thankful for everybody that stepped up to do games. Teens, thank you so much as well. You stepped up to the plate. Elizabeth, you guys stepped up. And you took care of a booth and did games. Josh, Micah, Mason, Elizabeth, you guys stepped up. And I appreciate that about you guys. I appreciate you guys also for stepping up to the plate and helping clean up. So that means a lot to me. So thank you, guys. I really do. I appreciate that. And for all the other men and ladies that, you know, stepped up and cleaned up and got everything back to where it needed to be, thank you for that. Because without you guys, we could, you know, we would, it'd just be a few of us. And everybody just rallies. And I appreciate that about each and every one of you. It means a lot to me. Because, I mean, we can't do it alone, right? We have to work in partnership as brothers and sisters in Christ, because our ultimate goal is what? To see souls saved, right? See this community come to live for the Lord and bring them into church, get them into the church, get them saved, get them baptized, get them discipled. I just think sometimes of how awesome that would be to eventually have a room that we're going to need, because we're going to have a discipleship course, amen? You know, I mean, that can happen. If we trust the Lord that it can happen, it can happen. But we have to do our part, right? We have to be in prayer. We have to be willing. We have to be ready. We have to submit. We have to surrender and say, okay, Lord, if you want me to do this, help me to do it to the best of my ability. Amen? And we're going to see a gentleman today in Scripture that I just cannot wait to meet in heaven. And the title of the message today is Brother Saul, the Value of One. And this is going to be in Acts chapter 9. So if you turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 9, you should be all there. We're going to read several verses this morning. And I'm going to turn to several scriptures. And I hopefully have your, like I said before, right? You have your fingers all loosened up, ready to go. Because it's not what I say, it's what the Word of God says. Amen? And that's what we're going to rely on this morning. But again, the title of my message is Brother Saul, the Value of One. So as we read in Acts chapter 9, we'll start in verse 10. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, if that's in red, that's the Lord speaking. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and one called Saul of Tarsus. Let me start over here in verse 11. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Verse 13. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard many this man, how much evil he hath done thy saints in Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bring all that call on his name. I'll keep reading here in a minute, but can you imagine? Like Ananias is saying, Lord, I don't know if I really want to go. I don't know about this. This guy could either do two things, put me in jail for the rest of my life or take my head off. You really want me to go? Are you sure? Are you positive about this? Do you not think the Lord already knew this? Right? We know. But what did Ananias do? He stepped out by faith and he surrendered and he went forth. Can you imagine what have happened if he had not? Who knows? Who knows where history would have taken? But he was faithful, right? So look at verse 15. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and this is the key verse, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul. Woo! Can you imagine? Just the relief on Ananias's just mindset or his just demeanor, thinking, okay, it's all good. The Lord is faithful. He understands. He knows. Puts his hands on Saul and says, Brother Saul. Amen for that. The Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way, as thou camest, has sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. In verse 18, and immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. Praise the Lord for Ananias and his faithfulness. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Father, again, I want to thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity that you have given me to stand behind this sacred pulpit. I pray, Lord, that you put me aside and that the Holy Spirit can work through me, that I can deliver the words that you have given me to this congregation. And Father, I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your forgiveness. And Lord, give us a good morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. So let me get my notes out here. Kind of jumped the gun a little bit, but that's okay. Okay, so with this particular passage of Scripture, the first thing that, and you've heard me before, as I preaching or teaching, I do it in outline form. So if you're taking notes this morning, the first thing that I want you to take out from today's message is, number one, is in surrender. In surrender by one. It only takes one of us to surrender to God's will. It's not that, you know, Brother Tony, I don't think I'll surrender today. And then somebody's like, yeah, you know, if Brother Tony's not surrendering, I guess I won't. No, it's a personal decision, right? Just like Ananias. It was his decision based on what God told him to do to surrender and to go to Paul or Saul at the time. And Ananias was a devout man. You know, he was of good report, and that is mentioned later on in Scripture by Paul. But Ananias was a good man. He was a good report from the Jews, right? He knew the Lord. He knew what needed to be done, but he was faithful. But then you're thinking, in surrender, really? I don't know, just like Ananias here, he was scared. He was fearful, wasn't he? Wasn't he like, man, Lord, do you really know what this guy has done to other believers in the past and held them off to prison and so forth? You really want me to go? And is the Lord working in your heart to do something for the Lord that you're fearful of? I mean, could it be as simply as maybe passing out a few tracts and, Lord, I'm fearful. I don't know what they're going to say. But are you surrendered to do that, right? So if you turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy, and look at chapter 1, and we'll look at verse 7. And it says this, and this is such a great little passage of Scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. If you this morning know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and you have surrendered to Him, He can give you joy and give you peace and give you direction on what He wants you for your life. It's that simple. Well, you just don't know how difficult it's going to be. You don't know how hard it's going to be. I'm just kind of fearful. I don't know if I'm ready to surrender. If you don't, it may not turn out for the best. Now, it's not to say that this Christian life is going to be easy. It's not. It's difficult. There's a lot of things that we have to go through, right? But the Lord knows, and He can get you through it. But you first have to be willing to surrender. But then you're thinking, okay, but do I have the time? Do I have the time to serve him? Yes, we do. In any capability, we have the time to serve him, right? And that can be in anything. That could be through reading your word, reading his word. That could be in prayer. That could be serving others, right? There's always time to do something. And you think, well, I'm so busy. I got so much going on at work. I've got this thing with the family, and I've got this, that, and the other. Let me tell you, there's always time. There always is time for something. Pray without ceasing, right? Luke chapter 9, verse 23. We ask, you have to understand this too, based on that scripture, deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. We have to take up our cross and just follow him and see what the Lord has for us, right, in this life. And it doesn't matter how age, what's your age. It has nothing to do with it. You know, I'm not going to say that I've been discouraged by this, but it's kind of like, well, Lord, I'm 46 years old, you know, and I've already kind of done my thing. I've done my career kind of thing, almost 20 years with what I'm doing now. Am I able to be used by you to do something else for you? Because what's kind of discouraging, you always hear preachers say, young folks, it is time to step up and do something for the Lord. And then I think to myself, well, Lord, am I still capable, even at my age? Yes, he sure can. So no matter how old you are, it's okay. You know, the Lord knows. He can use you, but you have to understand that you have to take up his cross and follow him. Amen. I mean, it all comes down to, in surrender, do you make God a priority in your life? Do you? Yep. I mean, we think about that too. And I kind of like this little saying here. What blessings are we withholding because we are neglecting what God has for us in our lives? You know, again, what blessings are we withholding because we're neglecting what God has for us to do, right? And it all can come down to one simple little thing, and that is getting on your knee and asking God, you know what? I surrender today for what you have for me in my life. Teenagers, as you all know, we'll get to this in a minute. During the youth rally, a great message on Joseph. I'm not going to spoil the next point, but we'll talk about that here in a minute. How, you know, the God worked in his life, right? And he's one of my favorite characters in the Bible. But, yeah, we just got to keep on keeping on, right? 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. This is Paul's last testament before he went on to eternity. But he said, fight the good fight of faith. Just fight. Just give it all you got, right? Once you surrender and you know what God's will is for your life, just go and get it done, right? Fight the good fight of faith. That's what it takes. It takes all of us doing the right thing. Turn your Bibles to Psalms, and I think the last time I preached, I mentioned this particular psalm. I actually absolutely love this psalm. It's Psalms 100, and it brings it all together for us. Psalms 100, there's five verses, and I love, of course, verse 5 in particular, but I'll read the whole passage of Scripture. It says this, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness and come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is what? Good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. And we can bank on that, knowing what God says about his word. Again, in surrender, do you fear what God has for you if you are surrendering? Let it go. You have the time to serve him, and we have to make him a priority, don't we? We do. But we're so wrapped up in life, we're wrapped up in work, we're wrapped up in what we do with our families, we're wrapped up with other things, we're wrapped up with our, our things that we like to have fun with. I'm looking for that word. I can't think of that. Hobbies. There we go. Thanks, Pep. Appreciate that. So, yeah, just little things like that, right? We kind of put them instead of putting God first, right? Okay, number two, in service. What areas of service is God calling you to? I know we have several WANA workers through the year that have stepped up and helped, and thank you so much for that. That is so greatly appreciated. We have Sunday school teachers. We have the men's prayer group, and that is also led by a man. You know, Brother Gary leads that as well. There's so many people that, you know, step up and help in a certain way. But you're thinking, you know, I'm not really capable of teaching. I'm not really capable of doing much, but what can you do? You can be in your Bible, you can be praying, you can be praying for our missionaries, you can, you know, I didn't get a chance to really talk about it, but, you know, this week, Brother Putney, it kind of slipped my mind, but, you know, that's our missionary of the week is Brother Putney, and he's the missionary in Colombia, and he just got back to his country, and he's serving the Lord, right? He is doing what God has called him to do. But if you're not able to, if you're not able to go to another country, there's always something you can do, right? Always. I mean, it's just like Ananias, right? He's like, okay, Lord, you have me to do this. I mean, can you imagine? He was like, okay, Paul is on the other side of this door. Like, what is going to happen if I'm doing this and I walk in and put my hands on him and say, Brother Saul, what's going to happen? You got to trust. Trust in the Lord. See what he does for you in your life. You never know. I mean, there's so many opportunities. Someone who has come to Christ recently that you may know outside of work or outside of church, disciple that individual, right? Get them grow in the Lord. Visiting those, the widows, visiting the fatherless, doing, calling them, checking up on them, doing different things, serving our brothers and sisters in Christ. Another thing that I thought was just an amazing day, I thoroughly enjoyed that Saturday morning. We went to Miss D and C. Cecilia's house, and we did some yard work, and we got all that done. Man, we had like 5 guys on weed eaters to blow in, and others cleaning up like trash or no, just whatever, picking weeds. Man, we just got it done, and it looked good. And that's all because we rallied together, and we were helping those that need in need, right? And we're continuing to pray for Miss D, and I don't know if anybody got an update in regards to how she's doing, if that mass has decreased so she can have surgery. Anybody know? We need to check on her today and see. But we're praying for that, right? That mass will decrease so that can be removed so she can continue her steps of recovery with her cancer, right? But it was just such a blessing to show up at her house and help them with that particular thing. Serving in our church, right? There's so many different things that we can do in our church to serve. If you didn't know this, but if you're picking up a piece of trash, are you actually stacking chairs? You're serving the Lord. Never take for granted or never diminish the fact that all I'm doing is washing a window. All I'm doing is walking around this property as our safety security teams. Everything you do, no matter what, is giving honor and glory to God and is serving Him. Cleaning dishes or doing whatever, or picking up the trash, whatever it might be, Lord knows. Well, I never get credit for anything that I do around here. You know, right? I'm like, I do this, I do that, I do the other thing, and nobody says nothing. Well, guess what? God knows. That's all that matters. Don't worry about it. Don't have your pity party. It's fine. God knows. It's okay. Right? This could be a sensitive thing in regards to service, but tithing. Got really quiet here a second. But no, tithing and giving. Let me tell you, thank you, brother. I appreciate that. This is so exciting. If you have not heard yet, and I hope I am not spoiling Pastor's fun here, but I was talking to Pastor about our missions giving, and so far we have received through Faith Promise, you know, on paper, $70,000 for missions. $70,000. Like, That's amazing. This little church here can do great things for missions. And, I mean, last year was like 50, and we just increased that like with $20,000. So that means more support for missionaries. I'm talking to Pastor about maybe giving these missionaries an increase, maybe, you know, a little raise or something. That'd be kind of nice. Trying to think about stuff like that. And that was something that somebody brought up. And really just... And I would love to fill this whole wall of just missionaries. Amen? I mean, it's just awesome how you guys just step up to the plate and give. And I mean, and the list can go on, right? It can just continue to go on and go on and go on. But with all that said, yes, you might be willing to serve, and you might be willing to do the right thing, but do you have a right attitude, right? Do you have the right attitude in your service? And I love what it says here. Are you willing to accept life's difficulties through serving Him? So we all go through difficulties, we all go through hard times in our lives, but are you willing to accept that what you have for me and the difficulty I'm going through is because you have a better, bigger plan, right? Some of us are going through health things, but you know what we do? We just continue to serve Him. don't we? And we try to encourage each other. But again, are you willing to accept life difficulties through serving him? And again, I like the determination of Joseph. Like I said, during the youth rally, the pastor brought a great message about Joseph and how, as a teenager, he made it a, what's the word I'm looking for? He made it a commitment to God, saying, this is what I will do for the rest of my life. I will follow you. I'll obey you. I'll trust in you. And we know the end of the story, right? But it goes to show you that teenagers, make the decision now to follow Christ and do the right thing. Because it will pay off, right? And you have to understand that. Well, you're an old guy. You don't know. You know, I was a teenager once. Trust me on that, I was. I know I don't look it, but yeah, I was. And God showed me some things when I was younger that I needed to fix, needed to get right. And guess what? The Lord walked and helped me through it. But make the decision now, teenagers, to do the right thing because it will pay off in the end. Man, and Joseph had a great attitude. And I loved Joseph's leadership style. I loved how he always faced different obstacles in different times. And I'll just share 8 leadership qualities of Joseph that I love. It's on 1 sheet of paper. If you want this, I can make copies for you if you would like. But I love this. 8 things. He was principled, right? He had character and integrity. He was honest. He was tempted multiple times. But guess what? He did what? He resisted, right? He pushed it aside. He was humble. The power and the prestige of his position working for Pharaoh never changed, right? I mean, can you imagine being at that level, second in charge, right? And having all this authority. But guess what? He's still humble. And he looked to him for guidance and direction, didn't he? He was disciplined. Joseph had the proper long-term perspective. So teens, like I was telling you, right, have that long-term perspective of what God will have for you. He was faithful while in jail and throughout all the turmoil. Joseph remained faithful to God and never wavered from his commitment to follow him. He didn't give up when he was in the pit. He didn't give up when he was in jail. He just said, Lord, this is the plan that you have for my life. I will continue on. He was faithful. He had grace. Joseph showed grace and mercy to his brothers. Man, I don't know about you, but if I had, I only have one sister and she's in Michigan, but if I would have, if she would have done that to me, I don't know if I could have had that same grace with her. But guess what? Joseph did with his brothers, right? And of course, it pays off in the end, but it just shows you Joseph's leadership and his qualities. He was competent. He did his job with excellence. Teens, again, I know I'm kind of preaching to you. Do the job to the best of your ability. For those of us who are still in the workforce, including myself, we have to do the best that we can because we want to give him all the honor and glory and have a good testimony, right? He was wise. Joseph was wise beyond his years. He was 30 when he stepped up to help and set up Egypt for the famine. And he demonstrated a seasoned perspective with decisions after decision, right? He had decisions and decisions that had to be made. But guess what? He looked to the Lord for guidance and direction. And 8, he was strategic. Joseph was a planner, right? And we all have to be planners in this life. He instructed the officials to prepare for a famine, even though it was still years away. He gathered up food to store up during those 7 years of plenty, didn't he? He had a plan, and he planned it out correctly with God's guidance and direction. And I love Joseph. I love how his leadership style was always reflective of what God had for him in his life, okay? So, one thing that we have to do, right, is surrender to him. We surrender to him by our service that we do for him. And thirdly, in souls to be saved by one soul at a time, right? Many of us go out and you guys go door knocking. We hand out tracts. We witness to people at work. I just had the opportunity to speak to a young man at work, and he kind of slipped in about going to church. I'm like, hooked you. I got you now. Now you talked about church. Now it's my turn because you started the conversation. And so it was perfect. So he was able to talk a little bit about church. And then I said, brother, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your personal Savior? Do you know about the gospel? He's like, yes, I do. I'm like, praise the Lord for that. Amen. And we had a good conversation about then the church and all that. But you just never know where that will go. Some people say, oh, I go to church all the time. Well, do you know the gospel? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your personal Savior? Yeah, he loves me. Yeah. Right? You don't know, right? You just don't know. But we have to step out of our comfort zone, don't we? I mean, how many of us in here love giving out tracts? We do. We love giving them out, and we're pretty comfortable about doing it. But if you've never done it before, you know, it's kind of intimidating a little bit. It's kind of a little bit, you know, okay, here you go, right? And you kind of step away and move on, right? I mean, it happens. But we have to be out of our comfort zone. I mean, look at, turn your Bibles to Luke, and look at Luke 15. Let's see, I'll get there myself. Luke 15, and we'll look at verse 10. One sinner at a time. And we witness through your walk, we witness through our testimony, and we witness through our mouth. Verse 10 of Luke chapter 15. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. I don't know if you've had the opportunity recently to lead someone to Christ, but that joy that even you get when you see that person come to Christ is absolutely something that you'll never forget. And to see that person then come into church, see them get baptized, see them get discipled, see that person grow in Christ, man, that's just that's an awesome feeling, amen? So just continue on in seeing souls saved. And then lastly, number four, in joy and happiness. You cannot be in a better place if you're... The best place you can be is serving God, right? And you can have joy and happiness in doing that. Even in the difficult times when you're serving God, you can have joy and happiness, right? It's amazing. Philippians 4, verse 7. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your minds through Jesus Christ. Philippians 4, 7. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding. Even in the difficult times, God will be there for you. Even if we can't rejoice in our situation, we can rejoice in the resources. And what is our resources? Our Bible, being in prayer, our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, right? They're all there for us to help us. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Looking unto the author and finisher of our faith, who is for the joy that was set before him endureth the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hebrews chapter 2, chapter 12, verse 2. So this morning, as I kind of, you know, wrapping this up a little bit here, I want you to take the example of Ananias and the fact that he stepped out by faith, even been given a commandment by God to go, he still stepped out by faith. He looked at fear in the face and said, you know what? I'm going to do what you told me to do. Faith over fear, right? I have a little sticker in my Bible that has that, faith over fear. And how many times are we staring fear in the face? But we have to understand that by faith, God can help us through those situations, right? No matter what they are. It could be family situation. It could be financial. It could be whatever it might be. Always understand that God is faithful and he is there to help you through it. Will you be faithful and obedient to what God has for you in your life? He will not lead you astray. And understand that. He will not lead you astray. He knew exactly what Ananias was going to be facing. But he was faithful, put his hand over Paul and said, Brother Saul, right? It was fine. Understand the difficulty that you go through. He will not lead you or go astray. And this message was for Christians and for us to, you know, be faithful in everything that we do for him as Ananias did. But if you're here this morning and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, today could be the day of salvation. You can know the gospel. You can know the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for you on the cross. He died on the cross for your sins, for you to have a place in heaven. And as Brother Ray and Ms. Vicky, as you guys come up, I just want you guys to, you know, take a moment and reflect and realize, Lord, even though the difficulties in life, I'm going to surrender those things to you. I am going to do my service to you. I'm going to go and see souls saved. And through all that, I'm going to have joy and happiness because I've given it to you to serve you wholeheartedly. Amen. So let's pray. Dear Father, again, I thank you so much for all that you've done for us. I thank you for this message that you have given me, for an example of Ananias and what he did for you and stepped out in faith, even with the fear that was before him. He still did what you asked him to do. And Father, I just pray that through this example that you help us to do the same thing. Help us to step out by faith to do what you have us to do, no matter what that might be. And Lord, I thank you for this church. I thank you for those that are here this morning. I do pray for those that are here that do not know you. I pray that today can be the day of salvation. Today can be the day that you have a personal relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And again, thank you so much for all that you've done for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As we